Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 505. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please let us know whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both absolutely free of charge, including the postage and handling. Well, I have some Bible reading for you today. I've got letters. I've got a strong message expounding for you, and some real good music. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask him to anoint this program. Father, I esteem these tapes far more important than any kind of music on the face of this earth. Lord, any time that somebody puts music before these tapes, even in our church, I will totally stop all music, all choirs, and everything, because these messages are the messages that put people in power to rule the world. This is what you called us for, is to rule the earth. Not as the worldly people want to rule the world, but we rule the world with your word. And this is the difference between democracy and republic. This is the republic for which we stand. One nation, just one nation, not United Nations, but one nation under God, with liberty and justice for all. Now, these have slowly and now more swiftly brain damaged people into believing that we need to be united with all the other third-rate countries, fourth-rate, hundredth-rate countries in the world, and that we should disperse and dispense all of our wealth to other countries. But what we've done in doing so, according to the Vatican, is we're broke now. Most people, we Christians are not broke, but the people out in the world are. Many of them are sleeping outside. They're homeless. There's no place for them to stay. They've destroyed Detroit, Flint, Michigan, where all the different automobiles and many other things were manufactured, and the Cleveland steel mills. So many things that they've done to this country, and it's just sad that people don't know it. And you watch all these different programs that the Vatican sets forth for everyone to see, and people believe it as though it is holy writ, and it is not. So one of their major stations is the History Channel. This thing is so warped, it's unbelievable. Now they've done a movie on, I remember, Father, when they brought Sun Myung Moon into this country, and they started bringing all kinds of cults into this country, and they were dangerous, possibly very dangerous cults, I don't know, but they were totally unscriptural cults, and therefore they were damaging. Actually brought Sun Myung Moon in. It was the Department of Labor that brought him in. It was Raymond A. Donovan, the head of the this organization, and the Department of Labor. Then they set them loose, the United States, and set the media on them and said, look at how bad cults are. Then they there's several people from Guyana that came to our church. They ran in there and told Sue and myself that those people did not take poison Kool-Aid, that the government people that came over from the United States, the government recruited the soldiers of Guyana. There was hundreds of them that went into that camp over there. I know that Jim Jones was a Catholic, And of course, he was saying they don't have guns, but yet, where did they get the guns to kill those people over there? We don't have guns, but, and they said they didn't, but they did, and they killed those people. Then when the army and the police from Guyana came into that compound of theirs, they shot every one of them. Each one of those people had a bullet hole in their heads or in their hearts. And so there's just so much, Lord, that people don't know. And the Vatican has always been known for loving opera and loving movies and being the head of the movie censoring organization. They were the ones that censored movies or okayed them. We don't do that at all because, really, we don't watch movies over here. And so, Lord, there's just so much of this evil stuff going on in the world that I believe that it's very necessary for people to know these things. These people were terrified when they came to our church and told us about these things. And so there was nothing that we can do but tell people about it and explain to them why they do it. It's the Jonestown Massacre. They did it the same thing as they did at over at Waco, the Waco Mac. This is all government, all supposed to be U.S. government. They're the ones that bombed the World Trade Center. They're the ones that set up the these different people to fly planes into them. Okay, so, and then they also bombed the federal building in over in Oklahoma City. Compare Jonestown. They're trying to make people that have 1,000 people in their group, or even 500 or whatever, they're trying to compare them. I want you to compare Jonestown to the hundreds of millions of people that this government has murdered. Now, there's 46 million babies that they've murdered. And the million that have been killed by the government, praise the Lord, it's just horrible. But I thank God and I praise Him for allowing me to know these things. Lord, I ask that you anoint the program, anoint it, open up people's hearts, their spirits, to receive the things that you've taught me from before the foundation of the earth. You knew us all before we were in our mother's wombs. And Lord, you know that there's setting people up. I mean, they've just murdered so many people. And let this message be a message that will show people the way, the truth, and the life. How that they can avoid being murdered by this bunch of animals that call themselves U.S. government, when in reality they have the international government. And they are from all headed by Rome, Italy. And Rome, Italy is headed by Satan himself. This is Bible. And Father, I'm preaching from the Bible. And I ask that you save souls and strengthen the church in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now we have some music for you. Music. As again, I say that the messages are far more important than the music. But here we have the Columbia choristers to sing We Three Kings.
We three kings of Orient are, bearing gifts we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain,
Okay. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. He stated that if he didn't run the race that was set before him, well then, he would wind up in the same hell that all the other people that are in hell are going to partake in. And so the race that he says, we must run the race, or else we'll never get a prize. Amen?
Amen.
And a lot of people, including myself, I don't like this race because there's a lot of things that are so evil that is before us, but yet I run the race. And the race that's set before us is none other than that of the Lord's despising. He said he despised the shame of the cross. He carried the cross all of his life, and then he went to the cross and was crucified. And so he kept all the commandments and then finally got on the cross. So the race that's set before us is none other than that of the Lord's despising the shame and enduring his cross. It's a rugged road for those of you that don't know that. If you think it's all candy and cotton candy and just a picnic, well, you don't know the Lord yet. Quote, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. That's in Psalms 103, verse 1. You want to read it, please, Sharon?
Yes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Okay, so you see that I'm reading to you from the Bible. Today's Christians, they lack the knowledge as to the existence and operation of the human spirit. People pay no attention to their spirit. They just pay attention to their body primarily. And we really need to pay strong attention to the human spirit. Many are aware that in addition to their mind, emotion, and will, they also have a spirit. Even when they have heard of the Spirit, many Christians either consider their mind, their emotion, or will as the Spirit, or else plainly confess they know not where the Spirit is. Such ignorance is enormous, and it affects cooperation with God. If you don't know where your spirit is, you cannot cooperate with God. Actually, God's control over their self and war against Satan. So God wants to have control over ourself. But we, our spirits, have to be willing to be controlled by the Lord, because we're either going to be controlled by the Lord or by Satan. And the Lord wants us to, as Jesus did, to have control over his spirit, to have control over our spirit, so that we can war against Satan. The performance of which in all cases requires the operation of the human spirit. If you're going to be ruled by the Holy Spirit, you have to, requires the operation of the human spirit. The human spirit has to cooperate with God's spirit. It is the imperative. It is imperative that Christians recognize the Spirit exists within them. Something extra to thought, knowledge, and imaginations of the mind. Something beyond affection, sensation, and pleasure of the emotions. Something additional to desire, decision, and action of the will. This component is far more profound than these faculties. God's people not only must know they possess a spirit they also must understand how this organ, our spirit, operates. We have to know its sensitivity, its work. We have to know its power, its laws. Only in this way can they walk according to their spirit and not to the soul or body of their flesh. The human spirit and soul of the unregenerated people have become fused into one. And because of this, they do not know at all the presence of the deadened spirit. On the other hand, they are very well aware of strong, soulful sensations. Our spirit has to be mortified, it has to be deadened, in order for us to be able to serve the Lord. So, they're well aware of their strong, soulful sensations, but this foolishness continues even after being saved. That is why Christians sometimes walk after the spirit and sometimes after the flesh, even though they have received spiritual life and have experienced to some degree victory over the things of the flesh, to be unaware of the demand, movement, supply, sense, and direction of the spirit naturally curtails the life of the spirit and allows the natural life of the soul to go unchallenged as the living principle of one's walk. The magnitude of this ignorance far exceeds common admission of it among believers because of their ignorance concerning the Spirit's operation. Those who honestly desire a deeper experience upon having overcome sin may all too easily be led astray into seeking so-called, quote, spiritual, unquote, Bible knowledge with their minds or a burning sensation of the Lord's presence in their physical members or a life in labor emanating from their willpower. They are deceived into overly estimating their soul experiences and thus fall into conceiving themselves as ever to so spiritual. Their soul life is inordinately nourished. They become so subjective as to assess their experience as unquestionably spiritual. Accordingly, they are hindered from making any genuine spiritual progress. For this reason, God's children must be very humble before Him and seek to know the teaching of the Bible, the Lord's Word, and the actual functioning of the human spirit through the Holy Spirit in order that they may walk by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit. Why must a sinner be born anew or again? Why must he be born from above? Why must there be a regeneration of the Spirit? All these things need to be answered. The answer is that man is a fallen spirit. A fallen spirit needs to be regenerated, reborn, born again, that it may become a new spirit. A new one, a new spirit. Just as Satan is a fallen spirit, so is man. Only he has a body. Man has a body. Satan's fall came before man. Before man's fall. We therefore can learn about our fallen state from Satan's plunge. Satan was created as a spirit that he might have direct communication with God. But he fell away and became the head of the powers of darkness. He now is separated from God and from every godly virtue. This, however, does not signify that Satan is non-existent. His fall only took away his right relationship with God. Similarly, man, in his fall, also sank into darkness and separation from God. Man's spirit still exists, but is separated from God. It is powerless to communicate with God and incapable of living and ruling anything, not even their own lives. Spiritually speaking, man's spirit is dead. Nevertheless, as the spirit of the sinful archangel exists forever, so the spirit of sinful man continues as well. Because he has a body, his fall rendered him a man of the flesh. Genesis 6:3. No religion of this world, no ethics, culture, or law can improve this fallen human spirit. Man has degenerated into a fleshy position. Nothing from himself can return him to a spiritual state. Wherefore, regeneration of the spirit is absolutely necessary. The Son of God alone can restore us to God, for he shed his blood, his perfect blood, and it became a perfect detergent to take away our former sins, to cleanse our sins and give us a new life, a new spirit, and for him to be able to live in that spirit. So we hide his word within our heart and are then able to, without having a Bible in our hand all the time, we're able to have the word within us. Immediately, the sinner believes in the Lord Jesus. He is born again, born anew. God grants him his uncreated life that the sinner's spirit may be made alive. The regeneration of a sinner occurs in his spirit. This is where it happens, not in his soul. We strive to have the same mind of Christ, and we strive to have our spirit grow up to the fullness of the stature of Christ so that our soul will totally be invaded and that our mind will be totally the mind of Christ and that our body will do the things that the Holy Spirit wants it to do. And what is that? God's work. God's work begins without exception within the man from the center of our bodies to the circumference. How unlike Satan's pattern of work is. He operates from the outer to the inner. God aims first to renew man's darkness, his darkened spirit, by imparting immortal life into it, because it is spirit, which God originally designed to receive his life and to commune with him. God wants to commune with us so that he can tell us where to go, what to do, what not to do. And the Bible doesn't tell us that. It tells us what to do and what not to do, but it doesn't tell us, don't go outside today. Don't get in an automobile today, because if you do, you're going to get killed. Leave this building immediately, or you're going to be shot to death. All these different things that the Lord tells you to do. This is why communion with him is so important. God's intent after that is to work out from the Spirit to permeate man's soul and body. And this is what I just said. He wants to get into the Spirit first and then permeate or blend himself into our soul and then our body. This regeneration gives man a new spirit as well as quickens his old one. Quote, a new spirit I will put within you, unquote. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and John 3:6. You want to get John 3:6? One of you, which one is going to get Ezekiel 36, 26?
I will.
Okay, and now John 3:6. Who's going to find that one? Okay, so let's read them. Ezekiel 36, verse 26, and John 3, verse 6. Okay, have you got Ezekiel?
Yes.
All right.
A new heart also will I give you.
See, a new heart, isn't that something? You know, I remember my heart was so cold, icy cold, and I was standing out, it was about a half a month or somewhere around Christmas time. And I was standing out in the cold Hollywood Boulevard. It was pretty cold that night. And I heard a crowd of people come out and they hushed. They said, man, that is a cold-looking dude. And I looked up to see who they were talking about, and they were talking about me. I was bitter, very bitter. But when the Spirit of the Lord entered into my spirit, I was all smiles, I was laughing, and my eyes were running with tears. I mean, it's just like a stream, it's like a water faucet. And he changed my heart. He gave me a new heart that night. Praise the Lord, right in Hollywood, California. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now, did you finish? Keep going.
A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you.
Yes, the new spirit he will put within us. Why? It's our spirit, and then he said he's going to put another spirit in us, and it's his spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And so that's what makes us feel so good. We're happy because we know that God's spirit is in us. There's something you can't really put your finger on it at the time, but after you study the Bible enough, you know that it's the Lord's spirit in you that makes you so happy, because you know you're saved. And you know that if the breath goes out of your bitter body, which is no longer bitter, that you're going to be right there in the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the kingdom of heaven is in you immediately. That's what's so joyful about it. Okay.
And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh.
Well, my heart was stony. It was bitter and full of hatred. Okay, then what?
And I will give you an heart of flesh.
Yes, and this heart is filled with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, now let's go to John 3:6.
That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
Amen. So we are born into this world, but we are born sinners. Every person is a sinner when they're born. And a lot of people misconstrue that, say we all sin. No, we don't all sin any longer, but we are all born in sin, and we all have sin. But when that new heart is placed in us and that new spirit is placed in us, then we are clean. And at that moment in time, we're perfect. And if we read the Word and seek God with all of our heart, we're going to be perfect all the time. The Bible says that. Now, the Spirit, in these passages, has God's life in view. For it is not what we originally possessed. We didn't originally possess the Spirit of God. We had mortal life, but now we have immortal life. Only God has immortal. He gives everything life. Even grass has life. Every vegetable, every flower has a certain amount of life in it, but it's not eternal life. It's just life that is mortal. Everything is mortal in this world, with the exception of those of us that are born again of the Spirit. God's Spirit gives us a new heart and a new spirit in that heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
It is accorded us by none other than God as our regeneration. God entering into us, the Father, the Lord Jesus with the Father by the Spirit is our regeneration. The new life as Spirit belongs to God. And so therefore we are purchased by God, and the new life or Spirit that He puts in us belongs to God. And if we don't, this is 2 Peter 1:4, you can be looking it up. Okay, this is why. If we transgress God's laws, then He takes the new life or the Spirit away from us because it belongs to God. He only wants to live in people that know who they belong to. You either belong to the Lord. The new life of our spirit belongs to God. If you have the new life, the new heart, it's God's. And you have to concentrate that on that every day in order that the Lord, that you'll continue belonging to God, because He says He'll blot your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you don't. Amen. Now, how did your name get in the Lamb's Book of Life unless God gave you His life at one time? How did that happen? Okay, so your name was put in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then you become one in Christ, because we, born again of the Spirit, Christians who have the new life and the new Spirit in us, are part of the body of Christ, and He wants to live in us and do His work in us. And if we're not pleased to do that, well, then He doesn't want any part of us, and so He blots your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life, or spits you out of His body. Okay? Mm. Now, so that's 2 Peter 1:4. The new life in us, or the Spirit, belongs to God. Read that. 2 Peter 1:4.
Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
All right, we cannot sin. 1 John 3:9. You got it?
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God.
So, you see, if you people are sinning out there, well, you are not born of God. You may have, but then you're falling away. And you cannot sin if you are not falling away. 1 John 3:9. But our spirit through quickening, or the life-giving spirit, may yet be defiled. How could that be? That's 2 Corinthians 7:1. Okay, that's 2 Corinthians 7:1. If you got it?
Yes.
Okay, read it.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
Right, without the fear of the Lord, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, you're not serving the Lord.
Yes.
Because the entire duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments, right?
Amen.
If you don't fear God, if people are putting anything, music or choir, before hearing these tapes, or if you're putting anything before hearing these, then you're not of the Lord. And in, say, 2 Corinthians 7:1, and in need of being sanctified, you must learn to be sanctified. You must be sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay, have you got that? 1 Thessalonians 5:23. If you're still corrupt, then you are in need of being sanctified by the Spirit. You got it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Because if it's not blameless, you're not going to be there at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You're going to be slung into hell and then the lake of fire. When God's life, which can equally be called his spirit, God's life is his Holy Spirit, enters our human spirit, the human spirit is quickened. It's a life-giving spirit. It's quickened unto life. It's just something that wasn't there before. It's the life of God that comes in, and you know that you're saved. The human spirit is quickened out of its coma. Everyone that's not saved is in a coma. They're blind, and they're the blind. When the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch, amen?
Amen.
Into the pit of hell. So they're in a coma, quickened. They're quickened out of its coma, so to speak. What was alienated from the life of God, Ephesians 4:18, is now made alive again. Have you got it?
Yes.
Okay, read it. Ephesians 4:18.
Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart.
Right. Hence, although your bodies are dead because of sin, your spirits are alive because of righteousness. That's Romans 8:10. Okay, so although your bodies are dead, they're going to die. You know, we're all, every man, woman, and child is going to die. And why? Because that you've sinned before. There's sin in your flesh. That's why the flesh needs to be mortified. Your spirits are alive because of righteousness. Romans 8:10. Who, you have it?
Yes.
Go ahead.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness.
Right, because you have accepted the immortal God, his immortal spirit, and now you're immortal. Read that again, Romans 8:10.
And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin.
Yeah, if Christ is in you, then your spirit is alive, but your body is dead and it's dying more and more every day. Then what?
But the spirit is life because of righteousness.
If you keep the commandments. What we are given in Adam is a spirit which is made dead. A spirit made dead. What we receive in the Lord Jesus Christ at regeneration is both the dead spirit, which is made alive, it's quickened, and the new spirit of God's life, the latter, something Adam never had. In the Bible, God's life is often labeled, quote, eternal life, or, quote, life, unquote. Here is Zoe, quote, unquote, Z-O-E. That's what it is in Greek. In order, in other words, denoting the higher life or spirit life, this is what every Christian receives at his regeneration. What is the function of that life? Quote, "This is eternal life," unquote, prayed Jesus to his Father, quote, "that they know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." That's John 17:3. Okay, go ahead and read it, please. John 17:3.
"And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent."
Eternal life means more than mere future blessing to be enjoyed by Christians. It is equally a kind of spiritual ability. Without it, no one can know God nor the Lord Jesus. Such intuitive knowledge of the Lord comes solely upon receiving God's life with the germ of God's nature within him. So the Lord indwelling in an individual can ultimately grow into a spiritual man. God's aim in a regenerated man is for that man by his Spirit to rid himself of everything belonging to the old creation, because within his regenerated spirit life, all the works of God towards him. All right, now we have some letters tonight. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, where's the first one from?
From Zambia, Africa.
Okay.
"Dear beloved Pastor Tony, the most important thing before anything else is I would like to give warm greetings to you and your ministry. I congratulate all the work your team is doing, and I extend my thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus for your invaluable and wonderful gifts. Dear beloved World Pastor, through your literature and tracts that we are distributing, we are winning the lost souls, and some say they want to be baptized. Truly, I have established the Tony Alamo Church in many communities. Please, Pastor, continue with the same spirit to put us on the monthly list for literature. I promise to work extra hard until the end of my life. I promise when Jesus comes the second time, he will find me distributing Tony Alamo Christian Ministries literature. Amen. Thank you for your support. Yours in Christ, Arnold, from Chingola, Zambia, Africa."
Okay, do you have another one?
Yes, from Pine Bluff, Arkansas.
All right.
"Dear Alamo Christian Church, I received the newsletters from your Christian ministries. I truly appreciate all of the literature, and I read it and then pass it on. I can't begin to tell you all how the Holy Spirit is moving within me through Pastor Alamo's ministry. I am 47 years old, and all of the things I've read about in your world newsletters have helped me to see and understand how blessed I am and how God has always had a plan for my life. I praise God for what I'm going through right now, and I thank Jesus Christ for what he did for me on the cross. I ask that you all keep me in your prayer list. I have faith that I will become stronger for every day I find myself doing things differently. May God bless and keep you. I'm looking forward to hearing from you soon. Your brother in Christ, Carl, from Pine Bluff, Arkansas."
Praise the Lord. All right, now we're going to read from the book of Hebrews. Where are we at? Hebrews?
Yes.
All right, chapter 1.
Verse 5. "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?"
Right, isn't that something that God never called the angels, any angel, a son? But he called, his first begotten son is the Lord Jesus Christ, and then after that, we become begotten by the Lord Jesus Christ by his spirit. This is what we're talking about. His spirit enters into us, and it's his spirit, and so therefore, we're alive interiorly inside by the Spirit, but our bodies are dead because of sin. And we don't sin anymore because the Spirit in us mortifies the body. The deeds of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, then go on.
"And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
See, he says the first begotten. That means that Jesus was the first begotten, and then the rest of us that are begotten by the Lord are also sons, but we're also begotten by him. So he was the first, and we, especially in these last days, are the last. We're the cleanup crew, the mop-up crew. We're the ones that are the last ones fighting Satan here on earth, but it's not us, it's Christ in us, with the Father by the Spirit. Then what?
And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire.
Praise the Lord. Do you feel a fire burning in you when you hear the words of God spoken? Mm-hmm. Well, what it is we're here, and the Lord is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh, and he's doing it through his ministers. His word is spirit and life, and therefore, when you hear his words, that's the Spirit of God being poured out on you, and the Lord expects you to receive what you're hearing because it's his word, and no word could be higher than God's word. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, that's why I'm talking about democracy and republic. Now, this nation is not a democratic nation. Democracy means that of the people, by the people, for the people. So when the people start saying that it's all right to murder babies, well, we the people will have our way. And when we the people say it's time to take the Bible out of school, we don't want to hear the Bible anymore, we want to kill Christians. And we want to set them up. And then they also want to set up what they call mercy killings, like they did Terry Schiavo. This is the Roman Catholic Church, or cult, that did the same thing in Germany. Euthanasia, and they were murdering babies, and they murdered Jews. They're up to over 46 million murders with little children now. Democracy means if everyone says it's okay to have same-sex marriages, then that's the law. But the republic form of government that we really are tells that it's for the republic in which we stand. So we stand, the republic of this country was set up by the Word of God. In other words, anyone that murders somebody gets murdered. They get killed right away. Anyone that has same-sex marriages, they can't do that. So democracy says kills Christians now. And everyone's all up to that. Not everyone, but there's a lot of them. And this is all Catholic kind of doctrine. It's like the doctrine in Guyana or in Jonestown, because he was a Catholic priest, and nobody likes to say that because the Catholic media doesn't want to say that. Okay, let's read some more here.
But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever.
Yeah, remember, the republic for which we stand is based strictly on the Bible. No murdering anybody, all right? No same-sex marriages. We don't want to offend God. Okay, because if we do that, well, then we can expect to be destroyed. And God is at work. He's busy destroying the world right now. And so people need to get back to the Bible and keep the commandments of the Lord. And they may they kill all kinds of people and say that that was a cult or something. But, you know, it's for sure that the people at Waco didn't kill themselves. And the people at Guyana, Jonestown, didn't kill them. Every one of them had bullets in them. You cannot talk people into committing suicide. Okay, what else?
A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity.
Yeah, the republic for which we stand is a righteous republic. And we gradually got away from that and now put the fate of this world into the people's hands. And the people have always been wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Look at all the people that know when they, that day the Lord said they're all bad except these eight people. Okay, one more.
Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
That's right. So I was anointed with gladness when I got saved. I was so happy. I couldn't stop laughing. Praise the Lord. And I'm still as happy today as I was then. No matter what we go through, it's nothing in comparison to the glorious future we have in heaven. All right. But no one that ever commits suicide, anyone that commits suicide will not go to heaven. You go right directly into hell. And so no Christian would ever commit suicide. All right. Now, this is the time that I always give everybody an opportunity to pray through to know God. And you can have the Spirit of God living in you right now with all its power to mortify all the deeds of the flesh by just saying this prayer. Say, my Lord and my God, I have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all of my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just praise and thank the Lord. Lift your hands up and praise the Lord. And get happy. Amen?
Amen.
And now, Sharon, tell them, the people in Radio Land how they can receive a copy of this CD or audio tape, number 505.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505. Or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
And praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful stepping stone into the kingdom of heaven. And here is the Blenders as a tremendous quartet to sing for you, the first Noel.
Bright star.
shining in these beyond them far and to the earth, how it gave a great light, and so it continued both day and night. No.